conversation with queer identified writers about their works and lives. Welcome to Queer Words. This is Wayne Goodman, and on this episode, I have the delightful pleasure of conversing with Anne Miles. Hey, Anne.
Hi, I'm so honored to be here.
It's an honor to be with you. Could we start by having you tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My debut full-length collection of poetry, Late Epistle, came out recently as winner of Sappho's Prize in Poetry from Headmistress Press. At 60, I guess you'd call me a late emerging poet in that I returned to poetry after many years, about 5 years ago. Before that, I was for many years an English professor, mostly at the University of Northern Iowa in Cedar Falls, Iowa, specializing in early American literature. My research interests were focused on dissent in 17th century New England and queer studies as a component of that. I was born in New York City, the only child of two Jewish doctors. I grew up in Manhattan and in New York's Hudson Valley, which are both settings in my recent book. I got my BA from Bryn Mawr College, yay, women's colleges, and my PhD from the University of Chicago. After I returned to poetry, I realized that I needed to change my life completely to go towards that. In 2019, I retired early from my professor position and began an MFA at Vermont College of Fine Arts. When I graduated in 2021, I decided to move from Iowa to North Carolina to be closer to my favorite cousins, since I don't have a partner and had no family in Iowa. I now live in Greensboro, North Carolina, with my dog and my 5 cats. I'm really excited by the riches of the literary community here, among other things.
This is Queer Words, and I do ask my guests, what qualifies you as queer?
I have to say that the word qualifies triggers my anxieties, because I always have this vague sense that maybe I'm not the right kind of queer in some way. I came out as lesbian around age 32. I haven't ever regretted that or disidentified with that. I've only had relationships with women since then. That's almost 30 years now. But I've been single my whole life and without any relationship for a long time. At times I've felt anxious, like, has my queer identity become theoretical? I do think to live alone, not only outside heteronormativity, but outside couple normativity, is queer in its own way. I feel a deep sense of connection to all women who live alone, whatever their orientation. A couple of years ago, I encountered for the first time the discourse around asexuality that wasn't on my radar. It's been enlightening and uncomfortable to realize that I am probably on that spectrum, probably demisexual. The word desire has been so important to me and central to my writing, but realizing that I don't actually experience it the way most people do. I'm still figuring that out.
When did you first accept being queer?
In my first year of my first full-time professor position, I met an older lesbian colleague whom I felt very drawn to and who took an interest in me. I felt a deep connection with her. And during the summer, at the end of that first year, I did a deep self-accounting and looked back and decided that could be me. It wasn't a problem accepting it, but evaluating whether that felt true to me, whether I was qualified. I was really thrilled by the new world that opened up to me, being able to abandon trying to fit myself into heterosexuality. Retrospectively, I understand my demisexuality as part of that difficulty. Since I don't experience attraction in a primary way, I had to understand the course of my emotional life and see if desire could grow from there. Once I decided that I qualified as queer, that I wanted to embrace a lesbian identity, I was thrilled to accept that. coming out is always a little scarier, but I think I accepted it for myself and felt really liberated by it and thrilled to realize that there was a world in which women chose other women and that I could enter it and be chosen myself. It was something I wanted very much.
Might you have some queer hero figures or queeros or sheroes?
I'm not a big hero worshiper in the present, but I have to mention the poet and teacher and activist, Minnie Bruce Pratt. She was a hero to so many people, myself included. Among other things, her writing was an important part of how I came to understand myself as a femme during my coming out. That also helped make my queer identity legible to me, since I was never uncomfortable with my femininity. In terms of people I actually know, I admire the founders of Headmistress Press that published my recent book, Miriam and Risa Denenberg. I admire them even before I was published there. They're both wonderful poets who are brave and vulnerable in their writing and also write about being alone. I admire them for this amazing act of creating and sustaining a small press for lesbian poetry.
What about literary influences?
This is a hard one for me. I know there were poets who shaped my style when I first began writing, but it's hard to know exactly who and how. I know I was introduced in high school to T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland, and it blew my mind. I grasped it emotionally and lyrically and made me want to write. Having been a professor, so much of the poetic canon is knocking around in my head. The poets I'm most drawn to are those who write in a way that is personally vulnerable, but also lucid, contained, crafted, with a lot of attention to the music of poetry. Two poets I read during my MFA studies who hit me as relevant to me are Natasha Trethewey and Linda Gregg. Emily Dickinson is both a heroine to me and a literary influence. Right now, I'm trying a bit to write into some of her lines that are always floating around in my head as a way of exploring isolation and longing in a time of crisis. She wrote many of her great poems during a time of crisis too, the Civil War, and that feels relevant to me.
What inspired you to begin writing?
I always loved writing as a child. My mother had to write down my stories, so it's hard to think about beginning. I wrote what I called a novel when I was in fifth grade, a girl and horse story, very derivative of National Velvet, I realize now. In college, I wanted to be a poet, but I didn't pursue that directly immediately after. Somehow in the course of my academic PhD studies, it got lost. Well, here I am.
How does queerness impact your writing?
In the most obvious way, I'm deeply involved in excavating my own subjectivity and trying to write from places of vulnerability and not be afraid of my own queerness in the broader sense, the parts of my experience and affections that seem weird and intense to me. Fortunately, they don't always seem as weird to others, which is reassuring. Even outside myself, my imagination is really motivated by women. Women in the present and women in the past. There's also a voice or quality in my writing, a lyric yearning that feels sapphic to me. Even though I didn't come out until after I finished my PhD, that my interest in religious dissent was also influenced by my queerness. I was interested in people finding themselves in a marginalized position on the basis of what they believed and loved and how they found a language to talk about that experience. It was that feeling differently that drew me even before I understood it. After I came out, I looked back at my PhD dissertation. I was like, oh, that's what that was about.
When it comes to writing process and your poetry, could you step us through how you get from the concept to the finished poem?
A lot of poets think you shouldn't come to it with a concept, but just some kind of trigger and see where it goes. I will confess I do seem to often start with a concept. I tend to get an idea or a feeling or a thought or some other trigger that starts knocking around in my mind. I might walk around with it for a few hours or a few days, listening for a preliminary sense of a particular music or rhythm the poem wants. Sometimes I also see the initial trajectory of where at least it feels like it might be going. Without hearing the music, it's harder to write. Then revision, that's hard for everybody. But it's particularly hard for me in that it changes the sound. Changing even a few words in a line changes the rhythm. I don't like the new lines as well from that perspective, even if they're better. It often feels like a channeling to me.
Can you tell us a little bit about your body of work?
I feel like I'm at the start, and body of work sounds pretty elevated. Besides my academic scholarly work, which doesn't involve any books, but a number of articles that do touch on queer studies in ways, my first book, I've called it a chapbook, but it's either the world's longest chapbook or a short book, is called What Woman That Was, Poems from Mary Dyer, which came out in 2022 from Final Thursday Press. It's about the life of the 17th century New England Quaker martyr Mary Dyer and my long obsession with her, interest in her. I wrote academically about her before I wrote creatively. It follows the course of her life, but also is about my desire to know and connect with her, which is a queer search for a place to enter the distant past and a search for a spiritual foremother. It is very much a lesbian-inflected book, although it doesn't bill itself as such. My full-length book, Late Epistle, published by Headmistress Press, that's a more directly personal book. It looks back over my life, considering what has brought me to the present, both my family life, my emergence as queer, bringing things up to this present moment in which I'm like, okay, now what? What does the future hold for me? The winner of Sappho's Prize in Poetry at Headmistress Press.
If people are interested in reading your books, where can they find them?
Both books are available on Amazon. Late Epistle is available from Headmistress Press. What Woman That Was is from Final Thursday Press. I do have purchase links for both on my website, annmiles.com.
I hope you have some of your writing that you can share with us.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to read three poems from Late Epistle, which offers something of an arc of the queer material in it. The first is called John Donne, A Closet Drama. It's an unrhymed sonnet addressed to the poet Donne and quotes a line of his. His wife's name was also Anne, by the way. All night in college after the one-man show on you, I tossed in my tiny dorm bed with a historical crush, or was it the cramps that racked me like adoration? I'd read your work in class, thrilled to the metaphors of desire and God, potent, jagged enough to touch what experience really felt like. Already I sensed it meant being broken. But your long nose and full lips in that young portrait, I could see you were a man who'd expect things of a woman, the kind I ran from. Maker, don't put the make on me, I'll be a county over in a flash. I'd never be your Anne, willing, let's hope happy, to crank out 12 kids of yours then die. Yet I had no doubt your grief was real and made the poem I'd recite years later, weeping my way across Chicago. I, by love's limbic, am the grave of all that's nothing. It wasn't you I wanted, just words to name that midnight counter life of loss, just an unimpeachable male speaker saying things I still could not. The second poem I'll read is called Bark Eaters. It's set in the Adirondack region of New York at Fort Crown Point, a ruined fort from the era of the French and Indian War. 25 years ago, I drove up the New York Thruway, heart pounding, to tell a woman I loved women too. Sun over everything that weekend, world leaping with promise, Alex Dobkin blasting from the car as we headed for Lake Placid. I studied how she and her lover walked, dressed, laughed, glorious otherness, only hours from where I'd lived. They showed me John Brown's farmhouse, high and plain, birds twittering over the grass, and graves of those willing to take resistance as far as it could go. Later, I'd be the lover in her camp on the hillside above Lake Champlain, where once I glimpsed its monster rolling through the water, where one day she would snap and scream and sever me, and I'd drive south numb and blinded, then move to Iowa, rounded fields like a woman's hip, a different spaciousness. And now I'm back, realizing how I've kept these trees, these mountains holding their breath under the mist, these starved farms and ramshackle houses, cabins and canoes, this smell of pine and wool and wood, these bark eaters. At the old fort, I linger among the ruined rooms of wars that marked this country before it was a country, knowing we're still at war, feeling the way our deepest pasts live on aching. The fort's a bowl of green inside its earthworks. A pure, cold sky whelms over, full of hunger and release, the same sky a soldier must have gazed on once in his last hour. The last short poem I want to read and goes the furthest towards addressing things that are scary for me to say about my queerness. Unspeakable. It would feel like when you dip a hand in the lake in August and the water surrounds it, warm as your own blood. It would carry the way the scent of pine floats childhood into the open field you ride through, or the sting of sage promises everything unknown. It would flow into the old shape of devotion, without her face, her name. Still a hunger to bow down to something, whether there's a face in it or not. Beyond that, I don't know. I recall making love once with a woman on the ground deep in the pine barrens. I gazed past her to trees and sky. Filmy, I thought, opening myself to the human and inhuman. And in my heart, I couldn't tell which one I called most to in its otherness. What longing traced the arc of my desire? So I can't say what it would look like. I would name it if I could.
What's your involvement in the queer communities?
I've been out in various ways, particularly in writing, but I feel like my involvement in queer communities has been a little limited. There wasn't a lot of community in the places I lived before moving to North Carolina, at least not that felt like a good fit for me. Honestly, my priority in the last few years has been trying to find a place in the literary community, and that's still a work in progress. But now I have a book out from a lesbian press. We'll see what happens, hoping that will lead to some ways of being a queer writer that I haven't yet discovered.
How do you use social media to promote your work?
I've always been pretty online. I have Facebook and Twitter and Instagram accounts. A big part of feeling connected to the world. I have a website now. I'm consciously working on using my accounts to promote my books, though it makes me feel a little bit icky. Facebook's fine. That's where all my friends are. Instagram has a lot of pictures of my pets, but I'm trying to do more book stuff. Twitter is really where the poetry community seems most active. But oh God, honestly, my Twitter posts often feel like screaming into the void. The same few people see them. I know I need to be engaging more, and that's hard for me. I'm a very shy person, and talking to strangers is hard. I do post so that if people come looking for me, I'm there.
What do you like to read?
I feel like I'm still working on my education in contemporary poetry, so that's mostly what I read these days. Important poets that I've missed, or significant new work coming out, or books by people I'm getting to know in North Carolina or elsewhere. But I also enjoy creative nonfiction, memoir, or personal essays, or any kind of hybrid work that includes the personal voice, mostly by women or queer folks. I'm always hungry to understand people's inner lives and lived experience, partly as a way of understanding my own. So I'm really drawn to writing that gives a window into that. I've read plenty of contemporary fiction and I do enjoy it, but haven't felt as much impulse in that direction lately.
Do you have any words of wisdom to pass along to other queer writers?
I'm not an advice giver, but I would say don't be afraid to follow your obsessions, no matter how quirky or niche or unpopular they might seem. Always push your writing towards what scares you. When I wrote the title poem of my book, Late Epistle, I had a mini meltdown because I didn't know how I could ever read it in public. My real words of wisdom, though, are to older writers, queer or not, who are starting out or going back to creative expression at an older age. I've discovered there are lots of us. Don't be afraid. It is possible to come back to that and to realize your dreams. If you ever thought about getting an MFA, you can absolutely do that now. That was the best choice I ever made. I can't imagine my life without the friends I made in that process. It's not too late.
I will say thank you, Anne Miles.
Thanks so much. This has really been exciting to do.